This is the Two Bald Nerds Podcast.
Hey, guess what time it is again? It's time for the Two Bald Nerds Podcast. I'm one nerd in Houston, Texas. My name is Mark Stuchowski, and who might you be?
I am the other nerd up in Rochester, New York.
Rochester, New York. You know, we have an Aunt Rory, and she really hates it when people call it Rockchester or the ROC. She's 84 years old. We love her, but she do not call it Rockchester or the ROC or the Rock. That's the other thing she hates. Nope.
Yeah, she hates any of those new those newfangled, as she would say, names for it. Yeah. Not a fan. She is not a fan.
100%. Well, listen, we promised you we are going to talk about WWDC, or as they say in the South, WWDC. Now, Dan, I'm going to ask you a question. Is this the first keynote, the first WWDC you watched from beginning to end?
It is. It is the first one I ever sat down and actually watched from beginning to end.
Excellent. Well, I'm a nerd. That's why it's called the Two Bald Nerds Podcast. I watch every keynote. I watch WWDC. I watch the October one when they reveal the new computers and all that stuff. And at the end of the episode, stay to the end, because Danny and I are going to talk about some things that we were hoping to see but didn't see. And just, you know, not that Tim Cook is going to listen to this podcast, but maybe he will. We don't know. But the WWDC was last Monday. And so this is our thoughts. So we're going to start out with iOS 16. I'm just stunned they called it iOS 16, because iOS 15 is out right now. I mean, the way they just named this new iOS just absolutely amazed me, Danny. I think it's Apple's on the cutting edge to go from 15 to 16. Aren't you impressed with that?
It's unbelievable.
I wonder how long it took them to come up with that.
Oh, man. Oh, all right. Pretty impressive.
So the first thing, you know, unlike the iPhones, nobody knew what was coming with the iOS, because they can keep it locked down in Cupertino. The reimagined lock screen. I mean, that's the first thing they talked about. I was so stoked. I mean, you can have not only one lock screen, you can actually put the wallpaper on there, and then you can actually change the way that the time looks. You can do some basic editing on the photos. I mean, it's just, I think, and then I really love the new widgets. You can do these little tiny widgets. So if you want a little tiny widget for activity or the weather, I just think this is going to be, not saying a game changer, but I think this is a really welcome change for iOS. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I think the fact that they're giving you all those options on the lock screen are fantastic. That's actually one of the things that I had always wanted them to do, and now they're actually doing it, which is awesome.
And then, you know, you and I talked offline about the focus. Now, I love focus. If you're not familiar with focus, focus is do not disturb improved. And so for me, I don't ever put my phone on do not disturb anymore. What I'll do is I'll put it like on I created a focus mode. And maybe I want my dad to be able to get through, or my calendar to get through. And so focus allows you to allow certain people and apps to get through to you. Well, now they're bringing focus to the lock screen. So you can have one lock screen that's a work lock screen, and then you can have a home lock screen. And I think them really taking the whole concept of focus to another level is unbelievably, I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, because if you think about from a productivity standpoint, the fact that you can have now different widgets on different lock screens and then tie those to different focuses, you can have a completely different look, picture, widgets, things show up on your personal lock screen versus your work lock screen, maybe a vacation lock screen, whatever. I mean, the combinations really are endless if you think about it.
Yeah, and it's going to be really interesting when this thing rolls out. iMessage is having improvements too. Now, with iOS 15, they allowed you to do the reactions. Now they're going to allow you to edit and unsend a message. Now, one of the things in the blogs I follow, they're like, okay, will the person you're sending it to, will they know you unsent it? Because will it say this message is no longer available? Because people are like, okay, what if I told someone off and then I retracted it? Will it see that this message was retracted? We don't know yet, but you know, people have been, you know, screaming for an edit button on Twitter, and now here Apple does it before Google. So before Twitter. So what do you think about the improvements coming to iMessage?
I definitely like the edit feature because there's a lot of the other apps that we use, like WhatsApp has it, and a couple others that we have it, have had it for a while. So it's the edit is definitely an improvement. Telegram does give you the ability to delete messages as well. And it gives you the option to delete it for just you or for everybody. And I've tested this with another friend of mine that I have on Telegram, and it will rip that message right out of there. It'll say message deleted for a little bit, and then it just goes away, and then they just can't get it back again.
Now, but on Telegram, if they're watching the message and you take it away, will they actually see it like disappear?
I believe it'll come up with it gives them a block. I'm pretty sure this is how it works. It gives them a little block where the message was that says message deleted.
Oh,
okay. And then after a short time, once the message is actually purged out, it's not there anymore.
Okay. Interesting. Well, Mail, they have made some improvements with Mail. Better late than never. Improved search, what people have been screaming for a while. Now, Google and Gmail has had awesome search for years. They're also going to have undo send. Again, Gmail already has this. A lot of other email providers, email apps already have it. Scheduled send, again, they're just catching up. And follow up, also known as snooze, which I'm so glad it's coming. This is the one thing that has kept me from Apple Mail, because you get a message like, I don't want to look at that for 3 or 4 days, and you don't have an option for it. But it's still kind of clunky. It's still kind of slow. I mean, when I use Outlook right now on my iPhone, you'd open up Mail and you're sitting there and like, it's where the messages, because you can look on your computer, they're the messages. So I hope they improve that as well.
Yeah, a lot of these features, I wasn't impressed, because I think these are just them realizing they're late to the game on a lot of these, and they're just kind of throwing them in because they know that they need to catch up. I wasn't as impressed with that. I mean, obviously, like you said, better late than never. They have a lot more work to do with Mail. Agreed.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, Safari and passkeys. Now, I really want to know your thoughts on passkeys, because Apple's not starting this. There's been a big drive behind getting rid of passwords. And if you're not familiar with passkeys, what passkeys are going to do is you use Touch ID or Face ID to log in. Apparently, there's a big movement. There's a big organization out there. Google's working with it. Microsoft is working on it. What are your thoughts on passkey? You think this is eventually, obviously, it's a long journey to get rid of passwords?
Yes, it is. And I kind of did I was doing a little bit of digging on this FIDO Alliance, which is the name of this conglomeration of companies that's trying to come up with a different standard, a new authentication method versus the old passwords. Mm-hmm. The idea seems like it's a good one. Again, I always go into these things with a grain of salt, and I like to see how it works, and I like to see how the technology is implemented. Now, it's going to be interesting, because with Apple and things like Google and Microsoft, how they're going to implement the technology is going to be somewhat a black box, because they're all proprietary. And unless they open source that version of it, or at least talk about how they're doing it, you may not know. Once this standard hits the open source world, you're going to be able to see exactly how it works in general. The fact
You'll get some early adopters, like major players, like maybe Facebook and Instagram, they'll go to it really quickly. But I think the masses are going to like, let's see how this passkey thing works.
Yeah, I think it's going to it's going to take time. It's like anything else. When you do a major shift in a technology like this, especially when you're talking about personal information, it always takes time. People are generally pretty skeptical. The masses are generally pretty skeptical. You're going to have your early adopters. You're going to have people who are going to be all in on it, no doubt. Again, the idea seems sound. The fact that you can use some sort of biometrics is what it is, that is going to authenticate you to your device. And then your device is going to store these basically encrypted keys that you don't even really get to see, right? So they're all stored and encrypted, and you don't even really get to see what they are, but they're generated on the device and then they're handed back and forth. I'm sure people are going to wonder, well, yeah, they're stored and they're encrypted on your device, but they're also shared across your devices. Like if you're in the Mac ecosystem, they're going to be synced between all of your Mac devices, your Apple mm-hmm. devices, right? So how does that work? I mean, again, a lot of this we don't know yet. It's a good idea, but then again, tying everything to biometrics, I'm not necessarily sure is a good idea going forward, because then you've got all of these devices.
There's going to be a lot of turbulence. Certainly, there's going to be a lot of turbulence as we go forward.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be something that's going to cause a lot of noise as more adoption mm-hmm. jumps in, for sure.
Absolutely. Intelligence, this is a gimmick. Lift the subject from the background so you can take a picture. You can press and hold it and extract your dog from the picture and put it in iMessage. That's just a gimmick. Live text is coming to video. Live text for quick actions. Shortcuts with zero setup. So iOS 15, they released Shortcuts, so you can create your own shortcuts, but they found a lot of people weren't using it because, like, I don't have any shortcuts because I don't want to take the time to figure out how to set it up. Apparently, with iOS 16, it's supposed to be like no setup. So the app developers will come up with these shortcuts, A, B, C, D, E. You just select it and it goes. I think they have, it's going to be a good thing. It's going to lower the barrier to entry because I hear that Shortcuts is really powerful, but you got to learn how to use it. And then what happens is if you say log my water, but then you say, hey, S, because I'm an Apple house here, I say, hey, S, log water. Well, she won't understand it because you didn't say the exact phrase. So I'm going to be very interested to find out when they say shortcuts with zero setup, what does it actually mean?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I've poked around with the shortcuts a little bit because a couple of the YouTube guys that I watched when I was trying to get a feel for my new iPad are really good with shortcuts and they use them extensively. And it's a pretty sophisticated system, so you could do some crazy stuff. But again, you have to know what you're doing with the shortcuts. Yeah. And some of this other stuff, even though it seems pretty gimmicky, when you look at the technology and the machine learning behind it, it is pretty cool from a technology standpoint. Still a gimmick. Although I will say that I could actually see uses, being a guy who does code, like part of my day job is writing code. And you will go on YouTube sometimes and find videos where people show themselves coding. The ability to be able to grab the code text from a video live and copy it out, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. I could see that. Now, one of the things you were really impressed with this is that you actually texted me the dictation, the smarter dictation, onboard dictation, not requiring an internet connection.
Yeah, and I actually went back and played that part of it twice because I wanted to make sure I understood and heard it right. Because usually when you hear anything like dictation, right, there's mm-hmm. always this aura around it that in order to get the dictation, the devices aren't smart enough, so they have to go out to the internet to a more powerful device to actually run the dictation and spit it back. Well, with the newer devices that are coming out with Apple Silicon now, and these M1 processors, they have these neural engines built into the chips. And that allows them to actually run the dictation actually at the device level. So you don't have to make the calls out to the internet to actually do any of the dictation, which I find fascinating. And again, that plays right into their wanting to be more privacy focused, more security focused. You can't be any more security focused than making sure your dictation is done all on device, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I love how the dictation and the keyboard, you can actually switch back and forth. Now, that's going to be something that's going to take a while to get used to because what I do is I will dictate and then I'll stop dictating because I got a word I don't know how to say. And if you don't know how to say the word, it's going to be, well, you're going to say something wrong and it's going to get it wrong. You have to fix anyways. And then you start dictation again. Apparently, this new thing is going to allow you to go back and forth. And I think that's going to be interesting. I wonder what the learning curve on that's going to be.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty, pretty interesting. Like, obviously, their demos are always really top-notch demos, right? So the guy's like, I am talking and blah, blah, blah. And now I'm typing and now I'm talking again. Here it goes. And it's like, oh, that looks like it works great in real life. Yeah, it's going to take some getting used to, I'm sure.
Yeah. Apple Maps, which I believe is just as good as Google Maps. I will not use Google Maps because the tracking, you can now do you will be able to do multi-stop routing and yes. transit cars and fare maps. I love Apple Maps. It's never steered me wrong. And I think that's really a big improvement. Now, did you want to say anything about maps before we roll on?
Well, I was going to say the one big feature on that, the transit card's not really a thing for me. I'm glad that they added that feature. But like for me, getting multi-stops in there out of the gate is awesome because yeah. Google Maps, that's what Google Maps was really good at. Like you could load up your stops if you're like taking a long road trip. Just was great at that. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this when we get to talking about iPad OS too. So,
okay, excellent. Apple Pay and Wallet. Okay. First of all, I'm going to skip the big one first. So tracking your orders, if Amazon gets on board, that'll be cool, but I don't think Amazon's going to get on board. So what this is going to do is all these apps that you can track, you're going to be able to use Apple Wallet. I don't know what the adaptability is going to be on that. Share keys. If you got a car key or a house key, that's pretty cool. Verify your identity in apps. But Apple Pay Later, when they said you can go buy something with Apple Pay, not the Apple Card, Apple Pay, it'll split the payment four ways. And I'm like, how is that going to work? So if I take my Capital One credit card and I use Apple Pay Later and I buy, I don't know, let's say, I'm trying to think of something I don't have that's expensive. Let's say I buy now and buy $400 and I want to split it four ways. Who finances that? Or does it automatically just deduct out of my credit card once a month? So I'm going to be really fascinated. Obviously, I think that they get buy-in for, I imagine, for the vendors, the credit card companies. So I'm really interested to find out how Apple Pay Later works.
Yeah. So honestly, there's only two different ways. Well, there's probably more, but there's only two different ways I can see it working. Either they're going to get buy-in from certain credit cards to be able to do this, or... And I can't see this happening, but since Apple is like the richest company in like the world, they could just pay the bill themselves and just collect the money from you directly.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting to see how that rolls out. Cause a lot of times when they talk, they just say this is coming. And we're like, how?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be interesting to see how that actually works. The verify your identity in apps is another one that's kind of interesting when you really dig into it. Because we're talking about, when we talk about verify your identity, I mean, we're talking about things like driver's licenses, the possibility of even potentially passports at some point. Like these are like major identifying documents that can be now digitally allow you to identify yourself. And once they're identified in the app, so the one thing that they showed is like, you're going to a website and they want to know that you're over 21. You don't want to have to put in your actual birthday. You've already verified your ID in this Apple Pay. All it's going to do is it'll allow Apple Pay to say, nope, we vouch for the fact that he's over 21 because we verified his ID, but you don't really need to know his birthday.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Now, this can be a slow rollout as all things are, but it's exciting. One of the things I'm really excited about is health and fitness. And we're going through this kind of fast because we haven't hit watchOS, macOS, or iPhone.
There's a lot here.
So we're trying to go through fast. We don't want this to be a seven-day podcast. So health and fitness, two things I'm really excited about. Number one, medication. So I take a supplement twice a day. And it's going to be so nice. I set reminders up on my phone to actually put them in to the medications portion of the health app. And what's really cool is you can actually scan the bottle and say, when do you want to be alerted? That's going to be really cool. And finally, fitness app is coming to the iPhone. Right now, you can't use the fitness app unless you have an Apple Watch. Finally, they heard people and got the fitness app on the phone. The one thing I'm still waiting for, Danny, is a fitness website. Because right now, you can look on your phone, but there's no way to go to a website. And I hope it comes. I mean, Runkeeper has it. Strava has it. I want to be able to go to a website and actually look on the big screen. But I'm so excited about medications and the fitness app for iPhone.
No, I agree with you completely. The medications thing is going to be cool. I myself take a bunch of different medications every day, migraine medication, supplements, whatnot. So it'll be nice to put that and be able to track that and put that in there. I myself have an Apple Watch so that it doesn't really matter to me, the fitness app on the phone. But the fact that they finally listened to people and said, for people who don't have a watch or don't want to buy a watch, they can actually take advantage of the fitness stuff. Pretty cool.
Yeah. And the last thing I'm going to say about the iOS 16, because we're at 20 minutes. We have to get the other ones up. Rapid security response, which is really cool. And safety check, which I think is really awesome. So what safety check is, let's say you have a bad relationship and you're being abused, man or woman, doesn't matter. And what happens is they have all your passwords and all this stuff. You can hit one button and boom, it takes away access from the other person for a safety feature. I think this is going to be one feature. You're going to see all the other phone manufacturers copy this one.
Oh, I totally agree. When I saw this one, I'm like, now this is an important feature, and this is a good feature. Like all the other ones they're cool features and they're going to be useful, but this serves a real purpose that could literally save somebody's life, if you think about it.
Absolutely. And if you're interested, compatibility, if you have at least an iPhone 8, an iPhone 8 Plus, or a second gen iPhone SE, you will be able to get iOS 16, but most people probably have much newer phones, so don't worry about that. All right, watchOS 9. We're going to go through this a little faster. The workout app, of course, Danny, you know I'm a daily runner, and when they talked about the improvements coming to running, we're going to get new workout views, heart rate zones. You're going to be able to customize your workout. This thing, I don't understand how they're going to do it, but they're going to be able to find out how much you're moving vertically by the way you move your arm. I'm just, when I looked at that video, I'm like, oh my gosh, how did they come up with that?
And remember, it's all math.
True. Yeah. And I didn't do well in math, so we won't talk about that. You're going to have running power. And if you're a triathlete, it's going to be able to, I don't know how they're going to do this, Danny, automatically transition between swim, bike, and run. I think that is amazing how they're going to be able to do that. I mean, what, the water watch doesn't get wet? I don't.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the swim because you're probably not much of a swimmer, right?
Nope.
I go up to the lake when we were at the cottage that my family owns here. And I will tell you that I didn't notice this. And this is even because I have a Series 3 watch. So I have a really old watch. But even with that watch, if I'm in there and I'm swimming, if I'm in there swimming for more than 5 minutes, it taps me and says, oh, I think you're swimming. Would you like to track this swim?
Yeah.
So it already knows how to do the swim.
But I want to know, how's it going to know for a triathlete? Because I think you run. No, you swim. Then I think you bike and then run. So yep. How does it know? It says automatically. So you get out of the lake. You get on your bike. How's it going to automatically? I mean, like you probably said, they're probably saying, okay, this guy's, he was going, like, I don't know how fast swimmers go. Let's say he's going 4 miles an hour. Yeah. And now they're like, oh, wait a minute. He's going 16 miles an hour. So obviously he's not swimming anymore. So it's going to be really interesting to see where that's coming from. The compatibility, if Danny doesn't qualify, Apple Watch Series 4, 5, 6, and 7, and SE. I'm trying to get Danny to get the iOS, Series 6. That's what I have. It's a gorgeous watch. I got the large one. It's really cool. So that is watchOS 9. We're at 24 minutes, and we still have two operating systems to go.
I know. It's crazy.
But, you know, the good news is, maybe, I don't know, they totally ignored tvOS, so we can ignore it too. So I'm going to go through macOS Ventura really quickly, because a lot of the stuff coming to Ventura is already on iOS 16, improved mail. Spotlight is something really cool, because with Spotlight, by the way, which is coming to iOS 16 for the first time, you'll be able to set a timer. Right now on macOS, you can't set a timer, but you'll be able to do that on the Mac system. Shared tab groups. Stage manager looks really cool. So if you got multiple tabs open, whatever tab, the bunch of tabs you tap, click, whatever word you want to use, it'll bring front and center to the center of the screen. If you want to go to another one, it's going to be complicated to learn, but I think that's pretty cool. Danny was really excited about the continuity camera. You can use your iPhone as your webcam. That was when I was watching, I'm like, wait a minute, what's happening now? And I realized they have the web camera up there as the iPhone. So that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. And the fact that if you've got one of the iPhones that has the really good wide angle,
yeah,
you can actually do a split view where it will get you and your desktop at the same time.
Yeah, I do have the Pro Max, and it is a sweet machine. Compatibility, iMac Pro 2017 or greater, MacBook A 2018 or greater, MacBook Pro 2017 or greater, Mac Studio, obviously, just came out in 2022, Mac Mini 2018 or greater, MacBook 2017 or later. I don't think they've ever replaced the MacBook. I think they did it for 1 year, and it didn't sell well, so I don't think they've updated it. So that is iOS 16, watchOS 9, and macOS Ventura. I always think it's interesting that they always give numbers to iOS and Watch, but they name the macOS. I don't understand why they do that. These are going to be available public beta in July. The rest of the world will get it in September, except for macOS that always comes out the end of October. I don't know why it takes so much longer, but what do I know? Now, because Danny has a brand new, spanking new iPad, he was particularly excited on iPad iOS. Now, I'll tell you, Danny, when it came to iPad, I just, you know, went to the restroom. I don't have an iPad anymore. You know, right. I either have Mac or the iPhone. So tell us about iPad OS 16.
All right. So the iPad OS is going to get a lot of the same stuff that's happening with iOS, right? Because they're very integrated. So I'm going to skip a lot of the stuff that is duplicated. Some of the stuff that I did like is a lot of the collaboration stuff when you're talking about doing any of the internal Apple applications for like documents, like your, I've got them here, you know, Keynote or Numbers or Pages or Notes or Reminders. You can actually do collaboration, send a message from the document that you're collaborating in, and then if when that person accepts, actually do real-time collaboration in those documents.
Oh, wow.
So what you'll do is you can actually see people going in there and actually making edits as you're watching the document. So, again, real-time collaboration. So that's pretty cool. The fact that they've got this, and they might have this, I didn't hear them mention this for iPhone, but they have, for Siri, they have a discoverability where you can ask it questions like, hey, S, what can I do here? Or if you want to be specific, hey, S, what can I do with iRobot? And it will give you feedback information about that.
Oh, I don't recall them saying that with iOS 16.
So they didn't mention that, but that's actually in the notes. So I went back and looked through all of the features of iPad OS, and this was in for the iPad OS. So,
okay.
And a lot of this is predicated on you having one of the machines that has the M1 chip. So it's like the new iPad Air or it's the new iPad Pro.
Oh, okay.
You're not going to be able to get it for any of the, a lot of these aren't going to be able to run on a lot of the older stuff. The stage manager that they're putting in iPad, they're putting in Mac OS is actually going to be coming to iPad OS as well.
Nice.
So you're going to have that same stage manager layout, which I think is going to be really cool because it's going to clean up that whole desktop, quote unquote, image that you get as opposed to having all the cards that you have now. You have all the little, you know, mini windows. So I think that's going to be really cool. If you have an external display that connects between your iPad and the external display, I'm pretty sure they're only talking about Mac compatible, then there's going to be a drag and drop feature where you can drag windows between the two of them. You can drag files between the two of them and vice versa. And since they're both going to be running the same kind of, you know, the stage manager, it works the same way. You can grab it from the stage manager on one and drag it to the other one and just drag them back and forth. And you can also drag them between the docks as well that are on displays. Yeah. So the integration from there is really cool. They have a couple of new display modes. So this one looks like it's only on the iPad Pro. So they have reference mode, which delivers reference color for popular colors, color standards for and video format. So it's like a, they didn't really have a picture of it, but I kind of almost see it as being like it allows you to reference what colors and video standards are working in that.
Oh, okay.
Now, they do have newer display modes, too. So they also have this new sidecar where you can use your, if you have a MacBook, MacBook Pro, something like that, you can use your iPad as a second screen.
Oh, okay.
So you can almost get dual monitors. And they have something like that now, but they've made improvements to that. So it's supposed to work a lot more flawless. The one thing that the other thing that I was really excited about is they have this new app coming later this year called Freeform for the iPad. And basically what it is think of it as a digital real-time collaboration whiteboard. It works with the pencil. You can draw, you can type, you can put pictures up, you can pull in templates that are like little post-it notes. Everybody can be working on the same whiteboard at the same time, doing stuff at different sections. And you can jump to different sections of the board depending on who's in the meeting, because you've got the little bubbles. If I remember correctly, you got the little bubbles of who's in your collaboration. And if you tap on the little bubble in the bottom, it takes you to the section that they're editing in the whiteboard, because it's, you know, you've got this big whiteboard that you can work on, but it's condensed down to a viewable area for the iPad that you're working on.
Oh, wow.
So I thought that was really cool. They've made some improvements to the things that you can do with the drawing. So you could use your finger to do some of the handwriting, but I have the pencil. I bought the pencil with my iPad, so it's really designed for that. But when you can insert simple shapes like boxes and arrows just by into the drawing area by using your finger or a pencil, mm-hmm. which you can kind of do that now. So I'm assuming they're making improvements for different shapes. Like there's certain shapes you could do like boxes and stuff like that, but I'm guessing they're doing more shapes. They're adding to the shape library. Typed text in editable text boxes within a drawing area of your note. So you can actually use your pencil to add typed text inside of an editable text box that's already inside of a drawing area in your note. So if you think about it, you've got a note that you've been drawing in, you put a text box in there, mm-hmm. and then you can actually use your pencil to add the typed text using your pencil in that text box that's already in a note that really you've been drawing on. Wow. So it's like more integration between the handwriting and the text.
Oh, jeez.
You can select handwriting in a note and automatically straighten it for neater written notes.
Oh, wow.
So think about that. You've got crappy handwriting, and as long as it can understand your handwriting, which it's pretty good at doing now because I have really bad handwriting, and I'll tell you, it's pretty good. You can actually, you'll be able to select the note, that handwriting, and do a straighten feature that'll actually still keep it handwriting, but make it look better.
Oh, wow.
So if you still want to keep your handwritten notes, you just want them to be a little bit more legible, you can do that. They're going to give you the ability to draw your favorite emoji using the Apple Pencil.
And for the creative people, that's not me.
And Scribble, which is what they call the tool that you use for your Apple Pencil, will automatically convert it to an emoji when you try and draw it.
Wow.
I'm not sure if it'll work. It doesn't mention working with the Memojis, but still, we're getting there. You can rotate the images in a drawing area with the pencil now. And then there's going to be a lot of new customizable sidebar menus designed specifically for the iPad. So basically what you could do is right now you get for each tool you use, you have like these different pop-up like docks or toolbars. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to customize those a lot more than you can.
Oh, wow.
So those are kind of some of the big hits. One other one is they're doing a redesigned like podcast app that's specific for the iPad.
Oh, wow.
So it's supposed to help improve the navigation and cataloging and stuff. So they're doing some stuff specific to the iPad, but all that stuff that talks about like, the drawing stuff, that's all really cool. Because I'm starting to get into that now that I have an iPad. I use that pencil quite frequently, actually.
Wow. Very nice. Now, a couple things they did reveal, uncharacteristic of Apple. They revealed the new MacBook Air with the M2 chip. And they the MacBook Air with M2 and a MacBook Pro M2, the entry level, which I'm really surprised on, because the one I have is the 14-inch MacBook Pro with the M1 Pro chip. It just came out in October. I got it in January. And apparently it's selling really good. So I'm really shocked they didn't reveal this. Usually it's just software at WWDC. They didn't spend a lot of time on it. Now it's the M2 chip, but it's not the M2 Pro. It's just the M2 chip. So it's going to be really interesting. I mean, I brag about my MacBook Pro all the time. It's a sweet machine, really fast. But I am surprised they revealed the two Macs at the conference. I mean, that's unheard of. They never do that.
Yeah, and it's odd too, because they did a lot of comparisons between the M1 and what a standard PC would do and what the M2 would do, but they didn't really talk about the comparison between the M1 Pro and the M2, right?
Right.
They didn't make any of those comparisons. So I'm wondering if the M1 Pro is selling so much better than the M1 actual Mac laptops that they just want to go to the M2 to try to pull in that market of people who don't really consider themselves the prosumers or pro users, mm-hmm. that wouldn't buy the pro version of any of their chips. I don't know. It's weird, but you're right. Like, they just came right out with those two new devices, which usually they don't do until later in the year.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I'm so glad that you and a couple other friends convinced me to get the MacBook Pro because of my business, because even though the new MacBook Air is coming with the M2 chip, it's not a Pro. It's not a MacBook Pro. And so I've got like more RAM and I got a lot more storage on here. And so for my use, I would not have get the MacBook Air with the M2 chip. Now,
right.
A couple things that I was hoping for that didn't happen. So 2 years ago, they made a big deal saying we have completely rebuilt from the ground up iOS Reminders. Really cool. Did a great thing. But where's the calendar update? Where is the calendar update? And my long-standing beef with calendars, and Tim Cook, if you listen to the show, hey, welcome. He's not listening to the show. So you have Apple Calendar on the Mac, and you have Apple Calendar on the iOS. So on the Apple Calendar, I can have like 6 or 7, you know, notifications for an event, but only 2 on the iOS calendar. Now, here's the weird thing. If you set up, now most times I just have it at the time of the event, but let's say you go into the Mac and you set up time of event, 10 minutes before, 30 minutes before, an hour before, 2 hours before, and 4 hours before. All those notifications will appear on the iPhone. But if you go into the actual event, you only see the last 2. So I'm like, why don't they match? Most calendar apps, the iOS notifications and the Mac notifications match. Plus, I think they still don't have natural language input for the calendar. So I think calendar is what most people use. There's a lot of great third-party apps out there, but most people, as you know, Danny, they're going to use the built-in mail app. They're going to use the built-in calendar reminders because they don't want to mess around with going around getting, you know, other apps. So I'm really stunned. It's been, oh my goodness, 6-7 years since they've updated the calendar app. And every WWDC, I say, well, this is going to be the year. And they don't even mention it. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, not making updates to the calendar app is a miss. That's definitely one. I don't know what their deal is. It's just obviously not on their radar at this point.
Yeah. Maybe I should. I did send an email to Tim Cook a year ago and he actually read it. And I know he read it because the secretary called me the next day. Now, if you ever want to email Tim Cook, make sure your email is sent around 3:30 a.m. California time. Because he gets up and checks his email at 3:45 in the morning. And he does read emails from consumers. So you send later. So for me, I sent him an email at like, I think I wrote the email at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I had it sent out the next day at 5:30, which would have been 3:30 his time. And when I remember I was out for a walk with my dog, and I get this phone call. It was a blocked number, and I answered it. It's like, yeah, this is so-and-so. I'm Tim Cook's executive assistant. I'm like, what? He actually read my email, which is really cool. So if you do send an email to tim.cook@apple.com, he reads a lot of emails. Now, obviously, he gets a bazillion emails. The secret is make sure your subject line is really, really to the point, so he opens the email. But, you know, feel free to send an email to him. Now, the other thing I was hoping for, didn't see, as I mentioned earlier, that fitness, it's on the iPhone. Yay. But it's still not on the web. I don't know if they'll ever go to the web, but that's something I was waiting for. But I didn't watch the gaming. I don't do the gaming. It just bores me. But I'm really excited for what's coming. Now, I will get the beta around beta of release 3. I wait for the first couple to go out, because a lot of the smaller apps I use, like HubSpot and stuff like that, they won't ever support until the master comes out in September.
Right.
But when you get around beta 3, 4, or 5, you're pretty much safe to go, because all the big ones, you know, WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook, they're all going to be compatible with the beta, because why wouldn't they? They know a lot of people jump on it, and the beta is free. So is anything that you were hoping to see, Danny, that you didn't?
I think improvements to the mail, because I was just having a WhatsApp conversation with you today. I've got 4 different emails, and I'm now trying to consolidate. And I use an app called Spark, S-P-A-R-K, if I can spell. S-P-A-R-K. And it's a great app. And I paid for it, but I don't know. There's just been some weird glitches with it lately. And it's, seeing WWDC, I was hoping that if they make really good improvements to the mail app, maybe I could just do all my mail through one app, right? I would like to be able to get, because I have to close a couple of those accounts anyway, like I don't use them. And then I could have my primary ones all route through one mail app.
I suggest Microsoft Outlook. It's a free app on iOS. I use that for my personal email address. I use Gmail because I have Google Workspace for Business to read emails, but to send emails, I usually will use HubSpot because I'm a HubSpot customer. So if I need to track an email, in other words, when I say tracking, I mean it automatically adds it to your contact in my CRM. I will send it through HubSpot. But I would encourage you, Outlook gets a rave reviews. Now, I don't have Outlook on my Mac because I'm not going to pay a monthly fee for it.
Right.
It's free on the iOS.
So I have Outlook anyway because we use it for work. Mm-hmm. So I could probably just connect those accounts through there, because it's already set up to run through the Exchange server that we use at work. So
until they fire you.
Yeah. But then, then I have to do this all over again. Right. Yeah. So that was one thing that I was hoping for. The other thing that I was kind of hoping for, it's not a big deal. It's not like a showstopper, but I use an app called Notability. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of the stuff that the Apple Notes does, but templates. Notability has the ability to pull in custom-made templates that are made by other people, so that you have different looks to your notes. And you get some of those in Notes on the iPad, but it's obviously not the same extensive collection. Like, they have one, Notability has one, Mark, you would fall in love with if you were a digital guy. It's literally a bullet journal. It literally looks like a bullet journal. And with the pen, with the pen and Apple, you basically, it's like you're writing in a bullet journal, and you're not actually having to keep books around. So,
wow.
It's pretty cool. But so that was a couple of the things. I think most of the other stuff, we didn't really talk much about the stuff that they did with Safari, which we won't get into. But like, I like the ability to take the shared, the tab groups that they have. And I didn't even realize that they had tab groups, because I use tab groups in my other browser. I love it. But you can actually share out entire tab groups now amongst people, which is kind of cool. And then the only other thing that we didn't mention is we didn't talk about the iCloud shared photo library.
Oh, yes. Yeah, go ahead and touch base on that.
I thought that was a really cool thing, because it just takes something that I think people are going to use most of the time and puts it off in its own space, right? So basically, iCloud Photo Shared Photo Library is a separate iCloud bucket where you basically share photos. So right now, you can create shared albums, right, but they're all still mingled in with all the other iCloud stuff. This is literally a separate bucket where you can just, it shares, it's just for sharing your photos and videos and stuff. And it allows you to share it out with all your family members and whatnot. And the edits that are done to the photos by anybody else are, you know, represented in that shared space so everybody can take advantage of it. I just think it's cool to break that out separately because I think that's something a lot of people will end up using.
Yeah, I agree with that. The other thing that we didn't talk about in iOS 16, as I go back to my notes here, is they're really improving Apple News. So my wife and I, we do Apple One, which means we get Fitness Plus, Apple Music, iCloud, Apple TV Plus, the gaming and stuff like that. But what they're going to start doing is you're going to be able to have something called My Sports, which means I won't have to have ESPN and the CBS New, CBS Sports app and NBA. I could just say, these are my teams, these are my sports, and there'll be a separate section in Apple News. I think it's going to be Apple News Plus, where I'll be able to get all that, the highlights, everything will be right there. And so I'm a minimalist. I'd rather have less apps than more apps. Matter of fact, after the, I always do this at the every keynote. I went back to using iOS Calendar, because I realize I'm paying for Fantastical because I paid because it's on the Mac, it's on the watch and all this stuff. And I'm like, I only have a few events on my calendar every day because I do my planning totally different than I did last year. So I would write down last year, I would go, I'm going to read from 9 to 9:30. I'm going to work on social media from 9:30 to 10. Now what I do is like, these are the three things I'm going to work on today. It doesn't matter when I do them. So the only thing is I put in my calendar, podcast interviews, coaching clients and stuff like that. So there is so few stuff. I just like, you know, I'm going back to iOS calendar because I don't fill up my schedule anymore like I used to. And gotcha. I like iOS reminders. I think notes has been vastly improved. That's what I use for my notes now. And I just, you know, there is no perfect company. I mean, I've been screaming about Apple Mail on the Mac because Apple's really good about accessibility. So if you have vision problems or something like that, but Mac Mail, it's like a you're stuck at a 10-point font. So you can't, like if I go to Gmail, I can go Command Plus to blow up the screen. You can't do that with a Mac Mail.
No.
I think I hear an email going to Tim Cook.
There's an email. I don't know though. If you frame it as an accessibility, you know, as an accessibility issue, then that there's the potential there.
Yeah,
no, that's
I just
deal.
Want the option to be able to say, what's my default viewing size in Mac Mail? Because what's interesting is I can make any other app bigger by using shortcuts on the Mac, but Mail, you can't. Now, I can make an individual email get bigger. So if I'm sending you an email from Mac Mail and I go Command Plus Plus, it'll make the font bigger.
Right.
Okay. And then you'll see it normal, but I want to be able to look at my inbox at like the size I want. And you can't do that. So the way around that, sometimes what I'll do is I'll log into iCloud.com, which I on Safari, which allows me to make the font larger. So it's just, you know, it's being nitpicky because some people can read 10 font, but I only have one eye and I want to give my eyes like my, I'm looking at my note here on Apple Notes and it's pretty large font because I only have one eye and I don't want to strain my eye. Yeah. So, but I know they can't answer everyone's request because they would get nothing done.
Yeah, no, I hear you. No, what best you could do is ask and see what happens, right? I mean,
absolutely.
That's all we can do. One thing I will say is just for our listeners is like we did whip through this thing and there's a bunch of stuff that we didn't cover. So feel free to just go, you know, Google DuckDuckGo, any start page, and go just, you know, WWDC 2022. If you want to watch it, that'll come up. That'll give you links to it, or you can go to the Apple website and pull up any of the features, and it'll give you text features and whatnot on any other thing. It'll give you a real detailed breakdown. So you can always do that too if you're interested in more information.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, going back to the workout. So I was paying Strava for a whole year, But then I went back to the workout app because, you know, it's like I asked myself, this happens again every time I watch WWDC. It really gets me to think about it. I'm like, so what am I paying Strava for? And I sat there. I'm like, okay, I can set goals.
Website.
All right. I get the website and I get a little orange flag that says I'm a premium. And I'm like, is it really worth $60 a year? Not that I don't have the $60. I'm like, but I can't justify. I'm one of these people, yeah. And you know this about me, Danny. Every dollar's got to pull its weight. And so I just like, you know, there's really, I think I went to Strava because a couple of my friends were on there. And I'm like, you know, and now with the improvements coming to Apple Watch OS, they've got the improved sleeping. They got the medications. I'm like, I'm just going back to workout because it's got everything I need on there. And, you know, Strava's a great app, but, you know, nothing is going to have, they don't have as much access to the kernel as Apple does. So when I finish a Strava run on my watch, when I run my watch, I only run my watch and my AirPods. I don't bring my phone with me. It says, okay, this will sync up with your phone, the Strava app on your phone when you get back. Apple doesn't have that problem because Apple can sync directly with the cloud through cellular watch.
Right.
So it's pretty cool. So it's nitpicky, but I really am excited about where the watch is going. I know they are trying to come up with blood pressure. I don't know how you can get blood pressure on an Apple Watch, but it's number one wearable out there. And you know, I don't read my email on my phone. Do you read your email on your watch, Danny?
On my watch, no.
Yeah, I don't. I don't even respond. Very rarely, if I get a WhatsApp message from you or something like that, I will reply like a thumbs up or something. I'm not going to dictate a long response. No. I'll just get my phone.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm the same way.
So let's see. How long before Danny upgrades to a new Apple Watch? iOS 9 comes out in September. I bet you'll have one before the iOS 9. Watch OS 9 comes out. I bet you will.
There's a distinct possibility.
It's calling your name and saying, Danny, come by me.
I want some of these new features, man. I got to get a new watch if I want these new features.
I bet it won't be too long before you send me a picture and say, look what I just bought.
Oh, man.
I see it.
I'm slowly converting. See how it happens? It only takes a little.
Now, the one thing we didn't do, we didn't come up with our topic for next week. So we were so excited about WWDC.
Yeah, we have to think about that.
Yeah, let me pull up our notes here. We'll do this live on the show. So this is going to be really interesting. So where is my notes here? So where are the ideas? Okay, ideas, WWDC. So we have two things left on our list, Andy. We better come up with some more. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We only have one. No, we have two. We have software, open source versus proprietary, and single board computers. Both of those, you'll be doing most of the talking like I did today. So did you want to pick one of those or you want to pick what's behind door number three?
You know what?
I don't know what's behind door number three.
Yeah, we don't have, there is no door number three right now. Let's go with these open source versus proprietary.
Okay.
Because I think this is probably a good segue because, you know, Apple is all proprietary. Not that that's a bad thing and we can get into that. But yeah, I think that's a good one.
Okay. All right. So you literally, listener, just found out what we're going to talk about next week.
There you go.
All right, Danny. Great having you on the show. It's always nice to talk to you. A little longer episode today, but folks, we could have gone a long time. And I'm so proud that you actually, I'm almost got you to all the way to the Apple side. Just got to get you to get a MacBook Pro. almost. You're almost there. Almost. So, yeah, I'm working on it. So thank you
like
so much
the
for
inchworm.
Listening. Yeah. All right, Danny, before we let them go, we have to tell them to do one thing. What is that?
Stay nerdy, people.